Good morning to all of you.
Grace and peace. In the name of the Lord Jesus. It's good to be here with you this morning. Many familiar faces, some that aren't familiar. Maybe we can get to know you a little better by the time the day is over. I want to say I appreciate the fellowship here, the years that we've been at Ephrata, and have at different times been able to be here and have some of you over there and working back and forth on various things, Bible school and maybe other times. I appreciate that connection and the relationships that we have. Could we rise to our feet and have a word of prayer again? Gracious Lord God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, we come to you in that precious name, the name of our Lord Jesus, the one in whom we have life. You came to give life and that abundantly. And we ask that you would share some more of that life this morning. Lord, we are needy creatures, we're leaky vessels. You have done wonderful things, marvelous things. We have rejoiced in you in times past, and desired to stay strong in you, and to stay well fed, and to be strong in your grace. Bless each individual that's here this morning, perhaps calling in, perhaps listening later. I pray that your words would fall upon listening ears and receiving hearts, that we can be built up in you to your praise and glory. In the name of our Lord Jesus, amen. You can be seated. In Isaiah 9:6, we find the words, "Unto us a child is born." Those words are words of anticipation, words of hope, words of dreams. When a child is born into a godly home, there is rejoicing. There is hope. My wife and I have had the best experience of having that eight times where we could say, "Unto us a child is born." And it's a marvelous experience when you have a new person, a newborn baby, and hold that child for the first time in your arms, and you wonder, and you hope, and you dream for this child. It's a breathtaking experience. It's an awesome experience. What will this child become in life? Where will he go? What will he do? Unto us, a son is given. At this time of year, there's much celebration over the birth of a child born over 2,000 years ago, not in a royal palace, not in a kingly family, not in some renowned city somewhere, but in a lowly stable, into a humble family from the backwater town of Nazareth. There are 200, at least, they say between 200 and 400 prophecies in the scripture having to do with a coming Messiah. There were numerous appearances of angels confirming this baby to be that promised Messiah. He lived on this earth for 33 years, fulfilled all those prophecies, with many signs following. Evil humanity had him killed on the cross. He was buried and rose again from the dead. and walked among his followers 40 days before being taken up to heaven, where he promised to return at a given time, at which time the righteous will be received into glory and the ungodly condemned into hell. And here we are this morning, still awaiting that time. It is right that we celebrate such a tremendous gift as was given to us. As in everything, every good thing, the enemy of our souls comes into the mix and tries to distort, tries to warp, tries to make a counterfeit and bring glory away from God and attention to his purposes, turning our celebration into something less than genuine, turning our house of prayer into a house of merchandise, turning our spiritual lives into a focus on the natural, turning our worship of the Creator into worship of the creation. It is right that we take this marvelous gift, open it up, use it for its intended purpose, and love the giver. I would like to stir us up in that this morning. You may turn in your Bibles to Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6 and verse 7. I'll just read a little bit and we'll go through these two verses. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. Now, I don't know what all reasons are behind the celebrations that people do this time of year. They are varied, they are many. There's a right celebration, and there are many not right ways of living our lives these days. We can be sure that while there's one way that's right, there are many distractions. And I hope that the reason we celebrate the child Jesus at this time of year in a special way, I would hope that it's not because we enjoy him as a baby rather than the fullness of what he came for. The government shall be upon his shoulder. What government shall be upon his shoulder? Take your attention to Matthew 28, where he says, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. So what government is upon his shoulder? All government. There is no authority, there is no power in this world we live in that is not either under him or at least given place by him. Now, many government, many authorities, perhaps, and they do, they abuse and misuse and misdirect their power. But in the end, all government belongs to Jesus and is upon his shoulder. Proverbs 29:26 says, many seek the ruler's favor. Proverbs 29:2, when the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice. But when the wicked beareth rule, the people mourn. So we read here of a child, a son, and the hope of the future that would have given at this time. What will he be like? Who will he be? When the righteous are in authority, it's a good thing. When the wicked beareth rule, people mourn. So now we need to know, what about this child? What about this son? What about his government? The kingship is upon this son when he grows up. Now we must know who he is, so we can know, can we rejoice or need we mourn? We must know his character, his understanding, his ability to rule, his ability to stay on the throne against evil uprisings, and his care and heart towards the common people. Only when we know these things can we know whether to rejoice or whether to mourn. His name shall be called. Our name is a marvelous thing. There was a day where a brother called me on the phone many years ago, and he introduced himself as Amos Click. I didn't know this man. I learned that his name was Amos Click. Now, many years later, that name means a whole lot more to me than it did then. Then it was just a name. Didn't have a face, didn't have a character, didn't have a personality to put to it. Today, I do have that. I know Amos Click. And now that name holds a lot of meaning to me. Proverbs 22:1, a good name is rather to be chosen than great riches. So is Amos a good name? There can be two Amoses, one with a good name and one with a bad name. So it doesn't have to do with the alphabets put into that name. Has to do with the life behind it. Rather to be chosen than great riches. Revelation 2:17, more about names. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the hidden manna, and will give him a white stone, and in the stone a new name written, which no man knoweth, saving he that receiveth it. Try to imagine what that will be like when these white stones are passed out to all that overcame, and there's a special name in that stone just for you, and you'll keep it. Nobody will know what that name is but you and Jesus. And I think, and I'm imagining here, but I think that that name will probably describe in a very intimate way just who you are in Christ, in the battles you won, and the character that you became in Christ. God isn't limited in his language the way we are limited in our language. His language isn't a jumble of languages put together like our wonderful English language. God gives a name, and it's a perfect description of that person. Jesus, Jehovah saves. Emmanuel, God with us. You may turn with me, if you wish, to Philippians 2:5 to 11. We'll be back in Isaiah 9 later. Turning to Philippians 2 and verse 5. His name shall be called. What name are we talking about? Philippians chapter 2, starting in 5. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself, and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore, God also hath highly exalted him, and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven, and things in earth, and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. This is the name that we are speaking about this morning, this great name. His name shall be called. And the first one is, wonderful. I'd like to write that on the board. And His name is Wonderful. We're learning who this child, this son, this coming king, what his name is and what it will be called. And the first one there is Wonderful. This speaks of the quality of this king. Psalm 107, 31. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. Psalm 119, 129, thy testimonies are wonderful, therefore doth my soul keep them. I am sure if I would ask you and you would be willing to say what the most wonderful thing is you've experienced in life, I'm sure there are many wonderful experiences that you all have had in life. I know I thank God for putting in me at a young age a desire to know Him. I spent many years searching and wrestling and learning, and yet the void just seemed like it wouldn't go away. From 12 years old, maybe to 25, I could just go back over, and many, many times I would try to fill that void. Many times seeking God and reading His Word, not as diligently, not as openly and faithfully as I could have, but there were times where I felt closer to God and felt somewhat fulfilled and just a yearning for more. And then I would just slip into maybe just living for the flesh, or maybe kind of an outward, just going through the motion of religion and feeling so empty inside. Through many of those years, I both loved Sunday and I hated Sunday. There was ways that I looked forward to it, and yet it seemed like so consistently at the end of the day I would feel so empty. Come Monday morning, I could go to work and throw myself into it and just work away that void in my heart. And Sunday came again, and sitting under the preaching, and whatever all the reasons were, just greatly feeling the emptiness of my experience. But God wouldn't let me go. I praise Him for that. I tried to fill that void with many things. I'm not necessarily going to name those things, but because many of them weren't wrong, I don't want to give the impression that they were, but trying to fill my life with those things with other than Christ didn't fulfill. It didn't minister to that need. Heartless religion is far from God's will for any of us. Any experience on this earth apart from the love of God is empty, shallow, meaningless. God is not interested in puppet shows. He isn't interested in mechanical robots serving Him. He could have filled this earth with just that if He wanted to. But He wants you. He wants your heart. He wants your love. He shows us here the character of his son. And the first one is wonderful. Have you experienced the wonders that he is and has for you? In every good thing that Jesus is, the world will make a counterfeit. It's a little bit like the wonders of cotton candy. I enjoy cotton candy. I don't often eat it. Once in a great while, a little bit. But you put some of that in your mouth, it tastes pretty good. And you might even say, that's wonderful. I don't know. But very quickly, the wonder of the flavor is replaced with wondering where it went. And isn't that so often? The world makes its promises. The experiences are perhaps very enjoyable. Outside of Christ, in sin, in carnality, there can be real pleasure. But so often, you wonder, what happened with it? And why don't I feel better? That was my experience so many times. The first thing the son will be called is wonderful. The second is counselor. Only after you have experienced the wonders of the Lord Jesus, then can you come to him as counselor. Have you been gripped by the wonder? The wonder of his leaving the glories of heaven. The wonder of his condescension to humanity. The wonder of having my life redeemed. The wonder of a new life, of guilt taken away, of peace. The wonder of the people of God. The wonder of the love of God that we share with each other. The awe at such a wonderful Redeemer. The wonder of his marvelous creation. I cannot get over this creation that my Lord and Savior created. And how he created us so fearfully and wonderfully. And the amazing, seemingly endless variety of resources that he put into this creation to be enjoyed and to serve him, to take dominion of, and to live our lives to his praise and glory. When we are gripped with that wonder and we have that emotion of wonder, and yes, it's so much more than emotion. But if it's just cold and dry and there's no feeling in it, there's a problem there. When we are gripped with wonder, and maybe the feelings come and go, but we have realized and come to grips with the fact that Jesus is wonderful. And when you get up in the morning and you don't feel wonderful, and you're not gripped with his wonder, you know deep down his character hasn't changed. It's just my fickle emotion. You're settled with the fact he's wonderful. Then it will be no grief to come to him and receive his commandments. It will be a joy. What does he have? What counsel does he have for me in this? Whatever difficulty you're facing, whatever perplexities and problems you have in your life, oh, I have a counselor. I'm going to run to him. I'm going to see what he has to say about this. I'm sure it's going to be wonderful. Second Timothy 1:7, for God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. His counsel will lead you directly down that path of power, love, soundness of mind, not down the path of fear. 1 Corinthians 14:33, for God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all churches of the saints. His counsel will lead you directly down the path of peace, not the path of confusion. Proverbs 3:13, happy is the man that findeth wisdom, and the man that getteth understanding. By the way, wisdom is in Christ, and in him are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Wonderful is his quality. He's a counselor. It's our wisdom. When you read of wisdom in the Bible, think of Jesus. He is our wisdom. Happy is the man that findeth wisdom. Proverbs 4:11, I have taught thee in the way of wisdom. I have led thee in right paths. 8:14, counsel is mine and sound wisdom. I am understanding. I have strength. 9:10, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding. Proverbs 23:4, labor not to be rich. Cease from thine own wisdom. That's our Jesus. That's this wonderful Son. We live on this wonderful planet with a wonderful array of resources. It was created good, very good, wonderfully good. Wunderbar gut. But evil entered in. We live with this constant battle between good and evil. In every battle, it is absolutely essential to have good counsel. This is our Jesus, our counselor. No one is wise on his own. The world uses the term sometimes, the self-made man. Speaking of someone that just rose up on his own, found himself in maybe in poverty, with very little opportunity, and he applied himself to learning and to making something of himself. And then he calls himself a self-made man. That's the pride of life. Let's look at a man, a self-made man, in Luke 12:16 to 21. There is perhaps such a thing as a self-made man, but I warn you this morning, it's not the path that you want to go down. Luke chapter 12, 16 to 21. And he spake a parable unto them, saying, the parable of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruits. And he said, this will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich towards God. This man made a terrible mistake of not going to the wonderful counselor to build his life, but rather be a self-made man. In contrast, Jesus emptied himself and became great, but this man filled himself and became a fool. Let Jesus be your counselor. The mighty God. That's the third one. He shall be called the mighty God. Here is power. I remind you again, Jesus has all power in heaven and in earth. He's wonderful, and he is counselor, and he, wonder of wonders, has the power to make his counsel work. Unbelief makes excuses, while faith taps into the wonderful counsel and the mighty power of God. When God, when Jesus gives counsel, he is able to make your faithful, loving, believing actions based on that counsel, he's able to make it work. It may not always work the way you think it should. It may not always work immediately. It may not always bring the fruits that you hope to see, but his counsel works. The mighty God. Now we'll go to the fourth one, the everlasting Father. Not only is he so wonderful, and he's our counselor, and he's the mighty God, he's the everlasting Father. This goodness can be depended upon. It won't just be the thing to do this week, and maybe next week it'll change, or in a few years it will be different, or 2023 we just have to come up to the times. No, it's everlasting. From ages past to ages in the future, eternal. Can we grasp how it would change if the Father were not eternal? His Father heart is eternal. His Father love, eternal. His fatherly purpose for you is eternal. His laws are eternal. His dwelling is eternal. His care is eternal. His vision for you is eternal, from everlasting to everlasting. No getting old. No passing off the scene. No changing fad that renders him old-fashioned. Always up with the times and as relevant as ever. Our Jesus, he is distinct from the Father, yet in the Father, and one with the Father. He created all things along with the Father. He is the author and finisher of our faith. While he is the Son, he also earns the name Everlasting Father. The Prince of Peace. The Prince of Peace. When, and only when, these other things have been realized and embraced and accepted and believed, then he can be and is the Prince of Peace. This speaks of a wholesomeness, a oneness with our Maker, a oneness with his creation, a oneness with his purposes, a oneness within ourselves where we have surrendered our all to him. No more conflict. This Prince of Peace came to find the sick and make them whole, to seek and to save that which was lost. 1 Thessalonians 5:23-24, and the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray, God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. Colossians 1:21-22, and you that were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind, and that was reality. There was a time in my life when I was just that, alienated and enemy in my mind by wicked works. Didn't see him as wonderful. Didn't go to him for counsel. Didn't realize him as the mighty God, the everlasting Father. Didn't experience the Prince of Peace. Yet now hath he reconciled in the body of his flesh through death to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight. That's the Prince of Peace. His name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Now, just like when we confess something, when we confess with our lives, we are doing so much more than just speaking words. There's a life that backs up those words. And there's a big difference between confession and profession. Confess agrees with that which is. And profession doesn't necessarily. Anyone can profess. Anyone can put forth a profession. But confession is saying yes to God, yes to his Son, yes to the Wonderful, the Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. That's confession. His name shall be called. The invitation today is to join those that call him these things. He will be called because he is. He has been called these things by multitudes of believers gone before. He is being called by many believers today, and he will be called this into all ages, throughout all eternity, because his name is these wonderful things. Just like bowing the knee is only meaningful coming from a heart that agrees with the action, so calling him these things is only meaningful with a life that confesses. In your relationships, in your family, in your occupation, in your church, is Jesus being called these wonderful things? I'm not talking about going around and naming all these five as you go around. I'm talking about the life that calls him Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace, the life that, where there's quality, there's wisdom, there's power, there's eternal things, and there's oneness. In your relationships, will you choose today that in my relationships, I will call the Son that has been given to us, the child that has been born to us, I will call him these things. I will confess. I will bow the knee with my life. In relation to possessions, the things you own, the money you make, the business you drive, contentment, love for others, looking out for people, honesty, integrity. My relation to the material world that my Maker made calls him Wonderful, Counselor, the mighty God, the everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. And there's that oneness in my relation to things. Holiness unto the Lord in all things. Unto us a child is born. Unto us a son is given. Do you hear the ring of anticipation and hope and of a bright future? Is that your heart today? I'm going forward from this place. I'm going forward from right now. I'm going forward as long as I live, calling him Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. He is, first and foremost, wonderful. He is lovely. He is to be loved. He is awesome. Twenty-some years ago when I was courting Saloma, it was wonderful. And there was no such thing as receiving a letter and I'll read it tomorrow, next week. There was an anticipation, and there was a freshness, and there was a zeal, and there was a brightness in the future, and there was a going forward with eagerness. And that continued into marriage so much more, and marriage is but a type of Christ and the church. It's but a shadow of greater things to come. It's but a picture of greater realities in this life and in ages to come. How much more should it be so in our relationship to this wonderful Son? I challenge you to live a spiritual life with eagerness, with being gripped with the reality that the Son has been given and is wonderful. In all your perplexities and problems, be gripped with the reality. I have a counselor. He knows what I should do in this moment. He knows what there is to do in this difficult problem that's too great for me. Of course, life is too great for us, but we have a counselor. He has the wisdom that you need. He has the knowledge, the sight, the seeing. He sees all things. He knows what you need to know. And he has promised that he will share that with you. A counselor shares his knowledge. The mighty God, he will walk with you. He will fill you with that power that you need to carry out his counsel. And he has the resources to make it possible. With him, all things are possible. That's the mighty God. The everlasting Father, his ways are eternal. That's how we can have a book that's thousands of years old and still just as relevant. Every bit as relevant today as ever. We must not be rocked by the changing tides of time. And the Prince of Peace, in him you will find wholeness. In him you will find complete oneness, body, soul, and spirit. The Prince of Peace. In him you will escape the corruptions of this world. In him you will be preserved blameless into all ages to come. His name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Will you?
Amen. Thank you, Brother Ephraim. Will you? I think there was that invitation this morning for anyone who hasn't. The invitation to experience that wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace. Experience that. I don't think I could have said it as well. I appreciate what has been shared, and I appreciate the focus on Jesus Christ. The focus of who he is, not the baby in the manger, but the mighty God that he is today, who he is today. Not so much about the little adorable Jesus that people will talk about and admire maybe and have nostalgia about, but that mighty God, that Prince of Peace. Amen. I appreciate that. One thought that came to my mind as Brother Ephraim was sharing about him being a counselor, and how we can go to him for counsel. And I agree with all of that. My thoughts went a little bit further. The church is called the body of Christ. In Ephesians, I think there's several other places, but it says, who is his body? I believe that it is God's will that we go to his body for counsel. His body is there for that. The body of Christ, that's who the church is. And we see the attributes of our Lord in his body, in the body of Christ. And so I think that's another aspect of Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, the Prince of Peace. Well, I'd like to just open it up if there's anyone that has something on their heart to share, whether it be confession, whether it be testimony, aspiration, as Brother Ephraim shared there. Maybe it's just that you have set your face like a flint, that you have determined and purposed in your heart that you will not turn back, that you are going on with him. Whatever it may be, raise your hand and we'll get a mic to you.